How Parents of Special Needs Kids Can Spot Fatigue and Reclaim Self-Care by Ed Carter. Parents of special needs children, especially those juggling therapy schedules, school coordination, and accessible travel planning, often carry parental fatigue and caregiver stress like it's just the cost of doing a good job. The core tension is that the caregiving burden drains capacity quietly, so exhaustion gets normalized until patients' sleep and even joy start running on overdraft. When fatigue goes unnamed, it also goes unmanaged, and decisions get made from survival mode instead of values. A simple fatigue assessment creates a clear starting point for real relief. Caregiver fatigue and self-care. Quick answers. What signs tell me this is more than just tired after caregiving and trip planning? A. Look for a pattern. Irritability, brain fog, more mistakes, and needing longer to recover after a normal day. If your parenting satisfaction is dropping and you feel numb or resentful, treat that as data, not guilt. Write down your top three symptoms for 1 week so you can act on specifics. How do I decide whether sleep is the main driver of my fatigue? A. Start with sleep quality basics, total hours, how often you wake, and whether you feel restored. Many sleep difficulties occur in 40 to 80% of children with ASD, so it is reasonable to plan supports around nighttime disruptions. Your next step is to choose one change you can test for 7 nights, like a consistent wind-down routine or alternating on-call nights. When should I ask a clinician about a sleep study or medical evaluation? A. If you snore loudly, have morning headaches, or your fatigue persists despite better routines, ask about a sleep disorder workup. A sleep study can clarify what is happening beyond what apps and wearables can show. Bring your 1 week sleep notes to make the appointment more efficient. Q. What do I do if my screening suggests depression or anxiety but I still need to function? A. Treat the result like a route map. Book a primary care or therapy consultation and ask for a short-term plan that fits your schedule. While you wait, pick one stabilizer you can do daily, such as a 10-minute walk, hydration, or a check-in call with a trusted friend. If you ever have thoughts of self-harm, seek urgent help immediately. Q. Should self-care still be a priority when money and time are tight? A. Yes, and it can be budget-aware. Self-care can mean protecting one non-negotiable block each week, swapping one task, or using respite and accessibility resources you already qualify for. Track it like an essential expense. Small, consistent deposits prevent a bigger burnout bill. Pursue a personal goal without dropping the caregiving ball. Once you know what fatigue looks like for you, a personal goal can double as a pressure release valve, especially if it leads to a calmer workday. Going back to school can be a practical way to pivot into a less stressful career without abandoning your caregiving role. An online program can help you balance learning with childcare because you can study in smaller pockets of time instead of trying to fit your life around a rigid campus schedule. If you're exploring a tech path, earning an IT credential can build career-relevant skills in areas like information technology, cybersecurity, and more. See information technology degrees. Build a fatigue scorecard you can maintain. This scorecard turns a vague "I'm exhausted" feeling into clear signals you can act on. For accessible, sustainable travel and lifestyle planning, it helps you choose self-care moves that protect your energy before a trip and keep you steady once you're on the go. Start with a quick 0 to 3 rating. 0 is barely getting through, 1 is reactive, 2 is mostly steady. Use observable cues like how often you raised your voice, forgot essentials, or could follow through on routines. This keeps the score grounded in real life, not guilt. Score last night's sleep quality, not just hours. Give sleep a 0 to 3 based on how restorative it felt, time to fall asleep, night wakings, and whether you woke up depleted. Note one likely cause you can influence tonight, such as late screens, inconsistent bedtime, or stress scrolling. Sleep is the fastest budget line item to adjust when you need more capacity for caregiving and travel logistics. Quantify your caregiving burden in minutes. List the top three care tasks you did in the last 24 hours and estimate time spent. Then score burden 0 to 3 based on how much it crowded out basics like meals, movement, or work. Recognize that demand can spike and stay high, since childcare weekly increased in many households. Seeing the time cost helps you plan swaps and shortcuts instead of pushing harder. Check support for usefulness, not popularity. Rate support 0 to 3 by whether you have one person who can take a task, one person who can listen, and one option for backup care, even if it's paid. Choose one specific ask for this week, like pickup help, a respite hour, or meal prep support, and send it today. This makes your plan practical for accessible travel, where you often need reliable coverage rather than more advice. Match your total score to a self-care lane. Add your 4 ratings for a 0 to 12 total. Then pick a lane you can maintain for 7 days. 0 to 4 equals recovery, 5 to 8 equals stabilize, 9 to 12 equals build. In recovery, protect essentials only. Earlier bedtime, simplified meals, and cancel one non-urgent commitment. In stabilize, add one 10-minute reset and one delegated task. In build, schedule a small training habit for travel readiness, like walking with your child's mobility gear or testing sensory-friendly routines. Avoid 5 self-care traps that backfire. Your fatigue scorecard is only helpful if it leads to support you can sustain. Here are 5 common self-care traps parents fall into, and the guardrails that keep your energy, relationships, and resources from getting overdrawn. Don't power through anxiety or depression. Treat it like a core line item. If your scorecard shows low sleep quality, frequent irritability, or you're losing interest in things you normally enjoy, don't downgrade that to just stress. Build a simple threshold. If you hit 3+ days a week of symptoms for 2 weeks, schedule a check-in with a primary care clinician or therapist and ask about options. When 1 in 8 people around the world are facing mental health challenges, undertreating your own mental health isn't being strong, it's a risk to your caregiving capacity. 2. Stop overcompensating for a partner. Make responsibilities visible and tradable. Overcompensation looks like quietly doing the hard parts, forms, med refills, night wakings, because it's faster than negotiating. Instead, list the top 10 recurring tasks, circle the 3 that spike your fatigue score the most, then trade, not help. Example, you keep school communication. Your partner owns 2 non-negotiables like weekend meal prep and 1 therapy run, start to finish. 3. Avoid over-self-caring. Keep recovery proportional to your fatigue score. Self-care can backfire when it becomes another to-do list or a way to avoid essentials, sleep, meals, movement, meds. Use a budget rule. For every nice-to-have recovery activity, fund 1 high-impact basic first, 30 minutes earlier bedtime, a real lunch, or a 10-minute walk. It's telling that 83% of research on self-care interventions focused on mindfulness. Mindfulness can help, but it can't replace basics like rest and treatment. Don't overload your support network. Rotate help and set a refill rate. If you call the same 2 friends every crisis, your support can quietly weaken right when you need it. Create a help menu with 3 small asks: school pickup, a grocery drop, watching siblings for 45 minutes, and 2 bigger ones: overnight coverage, travel companion for an appointment. Aim for a refill rate, 1 thank you note, update, or reciprocation for every 2 requests, so relationships don't feel like emergency-only accounts. Quit hoarding PTO and perfect self-care. Plan micro-rest into real life, including travel days. Waiting for an ideal weekend usually means you never recover. Put 2 15-minute blocks on your calendar 3 times a week, tied to predictable moments. After drop-off, during a therapy session waiting room, or before bed. On accessible travel days, treat rest like mobility planning. Schedule a quiet break right after transitions, airport security, hotel check-in, so you don't arrive already depleted. Small guardrails beat big intentions. When you pick 1 trap to fix this week, you'll be able to choose a next step that actually sticks, and your scorecard will start trending in the right direction. Build a sustainable rhythm for caregiving, self-care, and goals. Parental fatigue hits hardest when caregiving demands keep expanding and personal needs keep getting postponed. The steadier path is the mindset of sustainable balance, integrating caregiving and self-care with clear guardrails so support stays helpful, not draining. With that approach, empowerment in parental fatigue management becomes practical, resilience-building strategies take root, and motivating personal goal pursuit stays alive, even in messy seasons. Small, repeatable care beats perfect plans every time. Choose 1 small step to keep for the next 7 days, then protect it like an appointment. That consistency is what builds sustained positive growth, steadier health, and a family life with more capacity for what matters.